The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
There's a line from Arthur Miller, who, of course, being married to Marilyn Monroe, knew a little bit about the overlap between Hollywood and Washington. And he said, the closer you approach any, well, one approaches, because it was Arthur Miller, the closer one approaches any kind of power, the more acting is required. And certainly there have been plenty of American examples in Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger now, apparently George Clooney is thinking of running for governor of California. Angela Jolie is also talking about stepping into the political arena. So we're going to focus now on actors turned politicians. And Devon Hogan of Irish Independence Health and Living magazine. Let's start with the greatest of them all, I suppose.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan. He was the 40th US president, but like George Clooney and Angelina Jolie, he was quite political even when he was an actor. Like, he started off as an announcer for the Chicago Cubs, and one of his next big jobs after the war was host of this thing called General Electric Theatre, and he would go around the country making speeches to the General Electric staff, and he got quite politicised then and became more right-wing, because before that he was actually a Democrat. And he was divorced from his first wife in 1948, and in the divorce she cited distraction due to his Screen Actors Guild duties. So he was a politician from day one. And actually it was through the Screen Actors Guild he met Nancy, because in 1949 she complained to him that she was on the blacklist because she was mistaken for another actress. So
that I didn't realise that.
She was mistaken for another Nancy Davies, so he campaigned for her to get off the blacklist, and that's how they met, and a beautiful political marriage was born.
And again, she was very much a power there, the power behind the throne there. But the thing, of course, that Reagan offered was optimism. And let's hear that kind of message that he offered to America.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd planned to speak to you tonight to report on the State of the Union. But the events of earlier today have led me to change those plans. Today is a day for mourning and remembering. Nancy and I are pained to the core by the tragedy of the Shuttle Challenger. We know we share this pain with all of the people of our country. This is truly a national loss.
That was, of course, Ronald Reagan talking about the Challenger. And it was that ability to connect.
Yeah, he was known as the great communicator. And I suppose the acting is great training for that kind of thing. And obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger is another very famous actor turned politician. But it was actually his kind of bodybuilding that was more the impetus for him going into politics than anything else, because he was so focused, so determined. Once he set his mind to something, he would do it. And he used kind of mind games to fool people. Like, he started talking about going into politics in the late 90s, but he didn't announce until 2003 on the Jay Leno show. And what was brilliant about him was that he was able to use his career. Like, for example, he made a speech when he was challenging Gray Davies for California, saying, or Gray Davies has terminated hope, terminated education, it's time for us to terminate him. Yeah. So he was brilliant at harnessing like his films. And actually Bush, who was a big supporter of Arnie and vice versa, called him Conan the Republican. And I think we have a clip here of Arnold endorsing Bush when he was going for election.
I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that America remains the great idea that inspires the world. It is a privilege to be born here. It is an honor to become a citizen here. It is a gift to raise your family here, to vote here, and to live here. Our President George W. Bush has worked hard to protect and preserve the American dream for all of us. And that's why I say, send him back to Washington for 4 more years.
Kevin, I wish the audience, they can't because it's radio, but I wish you could see Kevin Cullen's face listening to that clip. Oh. What thoughts were running through your mind?
Who said Arnold Schwarzenegger is an actor? I never really thought of him in that. But, you know, it's one thing that I think does get lost in the translation is that if it is not an accident that most of these people are in California. And in California, both the film industry and the television industry are huge parts of the economy. Many, many people, a huge percentage of the population works either directly in those industries or a support staff for those industries. So it isn't that unusual that actors would come. One thing that is interesting, and you're talking about Clooney's really thinking about it, people that lean in Hollywood, and they tend to lean left, they don't get involved in actual electoral politics. They're very involved. Matt Damon's another example in actual issues, and whether it's landmines or refugees, or Sean Penn is extremely involved in a lot of things. I think Sean Penn has probably spent more time in Haiti than most Americans since the earthquake. So you do have that from the left side. What's interesting is from the right side, you know, they get involved and they run for office. I don't know what that means. I don't know why it breaks down that way. But if you went through that list, whether it's Reagan, Schwarzenegger, Clint Eastwood, these guys all lean right, mm-hmm. and they all ran for electoral office.
But it's not just a phenomenon in America, because Yvonne, of course, there's Glenda Jackson.
Yeah, and actually, she interesting that you say that, because she's a real traditional left-winger, mm-hmm. Glenda Jackson, and she was actually inspired to go into politics. She said when she heard Margaret Thatcher say in a speech that there was no such thing as society. So she'd won two Oscars, but she gave it all up in 1992 when she decided she would do anything in her power to get Labour into government. So she kind of put her money where her mouth is, and basically, she was very vocal, even, you know, against Blair when he was in government. She's a true blue lefty who believes what she says. And I think we've got a really good clip of her, the tribute speeches after Thatcher died. She kind of stood up and put her metal to the microphone and said exactly what she thought.
We were told that everything I had been taught to regard as a vice under Thatcherism was in fact a virtue. Greed, selfishness, no care for the weaker, sharp elbows, sharp knees, they were the way forward. What we actually saw, as indeed one of the former prime ministers spoke about selling off the family silver, and people knowing under those years the price of everything and the value of nothing. Yeah.
Glenda Jackson there. I suppose, Paul Allen, when you're working on political campaigns or when you're giving advice to politicians, is it an advantage in your experience over your career that they have got acting skills?
Well, I always think of, the answer is yes, of course. But I just, when you, that clip of Glenda Jackson, I can't help forget her on Markham and Wise. I think she turned up twice. So I don't know whether that was the end of her career when she decided to go on to do Morecambe and Wise. But yes, of course, you have to be able to deliver a speech and be able to speak and be able to put some level of authority behind what you're talking about.
You have to be able to lie in public. Everything could be falling apart behind the scenes, but you've got to go out in public and say,
sure,
this government is completely solid and we're on course for whatever.
Absolutely. Well, it doesn't. It can be in business too. You have to obviously keep the ship in ship shape form and get out there and get your message across. But of course, yeah, but you've got to put your brain in gear before you open your mouth and have to work out your formula and also the impact of what you're going to say, the fallout, how you deal with the fallout, and basically be five steps ahead if you can. But in this day and age, with media and with social media, they're five steps ahead of you. So it's very difficult
but
to try and maintain
that. But there's
all
kinds of politicians that, you know, were around in history that people say would never get elected today because these days politicians are expected act a particular way.
Attlee, the great Labour Prime Minister after the Second World War, who transformed and brought in the National Health Service, and was very lacking in charisma. I mean, a bit like Enda Kenny, funnily enough. I wrote a piece about not long ago comparing Kenny before he was elected, you know, when everyone was down on him, saying, you know, you don't have to have charisma to get things done and to be an effective politician.
But first, the Taoiseach, he's Harry a master Truman, of the soundbite. He's very, very good. He's very good at doing his piece to camera. He's well managed. He's well produced. And it's very, very seldom you'll catch him out.
No, I subsequently met him and he said, he punched me on the arm, which is his signature. He said, I like that thing about Attlee.
High five.
Unfortunately, I haven't got on a quango yet.
It also leaves out the aesthetic element that, you know, a lot of people who are successful actors are quite good looking, and that is also a help. And I mean, I know they say politics is
a lot of politicians,
but, you know, I don't think if George Clooney gets elected, I think that'll lie to them.
I don't think you can be ugly anymore. I don't think you can be ugly. Look, I mean, the last election, they were all absolutely gorgeous and really young, and I think the whole politics for ugly people is changing, or acting for ugly people.
I remember when Sarah Palin bounced, and again, you know, talk about acting, you know, she bounced onto the Republican convention.
She was
able to deliver her lines very well. She was a fantastic TV performer, and I remember my daughter thinking, you know, here was a woman who was so pretty and appealing. How could anything she said be wrong?
Ultimately, you get found out.
Yeah.
That's what happens to our friends, you get found out. you know, fairly quickly.
If you look at what's going on in America right now, Chris Christie, who's the governor of New Jersey, most of the national analysis about whether he can be, is he electable, really dwells on his weight. He is, he would be the first obese president since William Howard Taft. Wow. And it really is an issue. Will Americans vote? Given that we are the most obese nation on the earth, it should be, you know, he should represent America. But at the same time, it's a serious political
issue. But it is an issue, Paul, isn't it? Yeah. Because it's like Chris Christie is himself, but now to be a candidate, to be successful, you nearly have to pour people into a one-size-fits-all mold. Yeah. They've got to be, you know, good-looking. Mm-hmm. They've got to be fit and healthy. They can't smoke. They can't drink too much. They can't have any mistresses. They can't have any secrets. Sure. Are they good people necessarily as a result?
Well, the people that you're talking about, in this case, George Clooney, like, he's a fine actor. And to pack in his career, and you look at the likes of Arnie and the other guys, they weren't great actors, in fairness. Apart from Clint Eastwood, fine, brilliant performer and director. But, yeah, you just have to get out there and get your message across. The Clooney situation, I think it would work very well for him. Obviously, he can't go back to politics. Can't go back to acting, if that's the way it is. But there's other great Americans that we see. Martin Sheen, he touches on the fringes of politics, Kevin Spacey in The House of Cards, and we have also Kelsey Grammer, who was in The Boss, that terrific series based in Chicago. I think it's the second one coming. They're great as Tom Kane, Mayor Tom Kane. But I don't know why they don't get back into politics. And I know with the Clinton machine, a lot of the politicians were surrounded by movie stars and performers. So,
well, you wonder how much of it rubbed off. Did anyone see Hillary Clinton's recent... she did a town hall on CNN during the week, and it was a fantastic performance. Let's have a little clip when she was asked that inevitable question, because with the book out and everything, the question is, will Hillary run? I suppose the question is, won't she run, really? But anyhow, here she is being asked if she's got a grandchild coming up in the autumn, whether running for president is the thing she really wants to do most.
And finally, we're going to go to our last Tumblr question from Will Jackson. Why run, he says? Why would you run for such a dangerous and very stressful job when you have a precious grandbaby on the way? Retire, relax, enjoy life.
Well, that's on the ledger. Well, and actually, I'm not making a decision in part because I do have this very exciting, life-changing experience coming up in the fall. You know, I don't want to be meeting my new grandchild and having somebody calling me and saying, oh, you got to do this, that, and the other in order to make this decision. I'm just not going to do that. So I will make this decision based on how I feel about it and what I believe I can do. But I'm not going to be rushed to do it because this Tumblr...
Can I not rush you?
No, this...
Hard choice?
It is a hard choice.
The ultimate hard choice? Grandmother or the possibility of being the first female president of the United States of America?
There have been a lot of grandfathers who've done it.
Precisely.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe it's not a choice.
Yeah, there were lots of grandfathers, and can a woman not do both? I mean, anyhow, that was Christiane Amanpour with Hillary Clinton on CNN. Kevin, there's no way she's not going to run, is there?
But how can we miss the Clintons and the Bushes if they won't go away? we have a possible situation of Jeb Bush being the Republican nominee and Hillary Clinton being the Democratic nominee. I do not think that is good for the United States of America. And the whole Hillary thing, it's almost like a coronation at this point. There is this suggestion that nobody else would dare to run. And first of all, I don't think that's necessarily true. I would keep my eye on Marty O'Malley from Maryland. I would also keep my eye on Jim Webb, who was the senator from Virginia, who very famously rebuked President Bush when President Bush asked him how his son, the Marine, was doing in Iraq. Jim Webb, I talked to him just last month, and he is really being pushed by people because he's sort of a centrist. And he served under Reagan, but he was a Democrat, lifelong Democrat. He's a decorated combat veteran. And he is somebody, I think, that offers a completely different portrait than Hillary Clinton. So I do think she will be challenged, but she's also going to bring in the money she's going to bring in is going to be unbelievable.
Her running mate, in terms of who she may bring, maybe Hispanic or Mexican, is what they're talking about. Some of our insiders were telling me that. But Martin O'Malley, with the convention coming up, he'll probably add his name to it, or he'd be liked to, because obviously for an heir apparent, he's in Dublin many times, great musician, and a wonderful candidate if it works out.
His chief of staff is an Irishman.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that next.
But you know, and I'll go to the ad break on this. There's an expression I heard once that Americans are very good at elections, but very bad at governance. And we spend so much time, you know, caught up in the political cycle, the electoral cycle, whereas, you know, contrast that with this gridlock in Washington. So anyhow, we'll see what Hillary will do. We'll see what George Clooney will do. And we'll see what Angelina Jolie will do. Now, before we go on to talk about the GAA with Owen McDevitt, because the big one coming up definitely in the hurling, I want to, DJ, was it Pennebaker? I'm trying to remember, speaking of acting and politics, who, Paul, you'd have loved this as well. It was a documentary about the first Clinton campaign, and
sure,
at the end of the Carvel and Stephanopoulos, the two most cynical spin men in the business possibly.
Really?
And they are riffing backwards and forwards because they're not sure that Clinton's going to win.
Yeah.
And they're riffing the losing speech he would have delivered. And if you want to see acting and politics, cynicism in politics, well, behind the scenes in politics.
There's also a better documentary that Kevin Spacey did with Clinton, and it was cut to music. I don't know if anyone saw that.
It's about three minutes.
It's on the web, yeah. But it shows the final scenes, and Clinton is in the washroom. He's cleaning up. He's as if he's leaving, and the whole thing. And it's all wound up thanks to the magic of Kevin Spacey. But it's terrific. But just to jump back, if I may, just the Hillary book. Like, the Hillary book is there's no substance in it.
No.
But her roadshow is going to get her into battle states, and that's where she needs to get in, into Virginia, Ohio. That's really where it's got to go with her. So she expects her to be here in November.
One reviewer said, reviewers exist so we read the book so people don't have to, because it's so dull.